right. Well, I'm glad that everybody stayed around, and all those that increased and came to be with us, we appreciate that as well. We're going to take our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. Very unusual title that we have today. It's called Respecting Life and Death. Respecting Life and Death. And a week or so ago, I had the opportunity to preach to you about, something that was very important to me about remembering. But a lot of times when people think about the things that we remember or don't remember, we have a tendency of failing to recall the greatness and the power of the Lord. Of course, we know about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, when we think about faith, there's two applications of faith. One is following after the Lord because we know about it, and one is also called the act of faith. I don't know how many of you know this, but there is a true educational story of two men that I want to bring to your attention. One's name was a man by the name of Charles Finney. And Charles Finney was he was the head man. He was the president of Oberlin College, which is in Ohio. And during the time, there was a great drought that was going on. And yes, believe it or not, this area can suffer as much drought as it can an overabundance of rain. And people were complaining. Once again, the cattle were lowing in the fields. The crops, if you ever watch corn, it'll just literally toss them straight up in the air, begging for water. And so people were really complaining. They said, "We're not going to have anything to live on." Well, that night, Charles Finney, he had called for all the preachers in the area, or not all the preachers, but all the farmers and the people that lived nearby to come and be at Oberlin College. Well, people came from miles around. They said that as the wagons were rolling in, they could just see the dust clouds that were being created by the wagons. That's how dry it had become. Well, when it came time for Brother Finney to preach, he brought an umbrella out, and he laid it across the podium. And he said, "How many of you all have come to hear me preach and ask God to send us rain?" And hands went up. He goes, "Well, evidently you didn't, because I'm the only one that brought an umbrella." And he said, "How many of you believe that God's going to cause it to rain?" And not a hand went up. So he bowed his head and he started praying. They said that as he prayed, they could hear the thunder in the distance. And by the time he finished, there was such a deluge coming down that people couldn't even leave the Cumberland or the Oberlin College because of the amount of water that was coming down. Another example of faith was a man by the name of George Mueller. And this one's a little bit more difficult for us to understand. It happened in England many, many years ago. George Mueller himself being German. And he was a man of phenomenal faith. Literally, he started orphanages without any money. He just believed that the Lord had called him to build orphanages, and he would just start building and expecting God to supply the funds, and they never went into debt. Well, one day, the headmaster of the school there, or the orphanage, called Brother Mueller and said, "We have no food." He said, "We have nothing to give these precious little children, nothing." He says, "Call them together and have them sit down, and we're going to ask the blessing on what God gives." And the headmaster said, "But Brother Mueller, we have no food." He said, "Call the children together, have them sit down, and we're going to have food." And as he brought them all together, all the people were sitting there, and he bowed his head, and he gave thanks to God for the blessings they were about to receive. And the headmaster said, "Brother Mueller," knock on the door. And a man had a wagon cart, and he said, "I was getting ready to travel down this area, and my wheel came off my cart." And he said, "And I have to get this unloaded. I was going to dump all the milk into the gutter, and it was come to my occurrence that you all might use the milk. Can you use this milk?" He goes, "By all means." And he told the headmaster, he said, "Now disperse all the milk out to all the children so they have milk." And the young man was so excited, he goes, "God." Another knock on the door. And the baker had all and he said, "I have and so Then these children were blessed with milk and pastries for breakfast. That's faith. I don't have that kind of faith. I mean, I've had moments where I've had good faith and God has rewarded my faith. And I've had so many people come up to me, and here's the one that they came up most recently, and they said, well, women were never shown signs of faith. We were not allowed to show in the Bible with their application of faith. And I beg to differ with them as I pointed to the book of Hebrews, and let's go down to verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out of the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has salvation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, conceived seed, and was delivered because he judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, immovable. These all. On the earth. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for your blessings, and I ask you, Lord, just to guide us and to direct us as we study together. Lord, whenever I read the Scripture, I know that there are many things that we could look into and study and have an application, Father. But we don't really see an application of faith as we should. There's been moments in my life that I've had faith. There's been moments, Lord, that I know that you answered my prayer when I have fallen upon my face before you and you have blessed. Lord, I've had the opportunity to share my faith with my children, and they have seen firsthand in that faith in action as well. But Lord, it's not enough just to say that I know these periods of time in my life where I have faith, but Lord, that I would have a lively faith and an extended faith and a growing faith for anyone and everyone to see right now. Lord, I know this is that in this community, there's many people that they have already asked me questions about who I am and where I came from and so many other questions. And I get an opportunity to share with them the love of Christ and the opportunities, Father, of this church. But Lord, even as we have people from all around the world that they may be tuning in and listening to this message today, I pray that, Father, that they may be blessed to understand that faith is not dead. One man was called out of the early Galilee, one man was called Lord, I pray that you will bless and that you will help me in this message today. Lord, I do want to pay attention in particular to Sarah. And I ask, Father, that you will guide and bless as we study these things and that we might walk in faithfulness to you. So lead us and bless and watch over us now, Father, as we look to your word and guide and bless now. In Christ we pray. Amen. Continuing on in verse 14, it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I don't know about you all, but a lot of times when we think of faith, we like to think of individuals that really did spectacular things in their life. We can see Abraham, and we can see the spectacular way in that he followed God. We can see Moses and the spectacular way in which he followed God, Joshua, and so on and so forth. We can even go to King David, and we can see the spectacular way in which David also followed after God and had faith that God was going to deliver him in the time of trouble. But I want us to turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, as we begin today, and I want you to see the promises that were given to Abraham, and how that by faith we walk according to the purposes of God. And I want you to pay particular attention to Sarah. So ladies, I want to encourage you today, because the fact is that never think yourselves as a secondary citizen either in the house of God or in God's sight, because that's not the way it is. And then Sarah is an example that we can follow and we can learn and grow by. Look what it says in verse 1. Now when the Lord said unto Abraham, get me out of my country and from my kindred and from my father's house to a land that I will show thee, I will bless thee and take thy name for a thou shalt be my father. And I will bless thee and bless thee and curse thee and curse thee and in thee shall all this as well. But think about this about Abraham. He had been in the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. And you know, the fact of the matter is the Chaldean people still exist. I remember many years ago that I worked in Tampa, Florida, and a company called Reflectone, and I met this young man by the name of Fike Zora. He spoke beautiful English and everything, and I said, and we got to know each other pretty well. I said, where are you from, Fike? And he said, I'm from the Chaldees, or the way he pronounced it was Chaldees. And I said, where's that? He goes, you probably have heard of the Ur of Chaldees. And immediately I knew who he was talking about. He goes, Abraham was my kindred. I thought that was an amazing thing, that there would still be people upon this earth that could relate back and call themselves the Ur of the Chaldees. But the reality is that when God began to deal with Abraham, he was an idol following. Get out of there. Get out of there. And it was counted to him for righteousness. But read the next two verses. So Abraham departed. Again, this was one that he was going to be blessed as well. But notice that it said, and Abraham was 75 years old, and he departed out of Haran. By the way, we hear that word Iran, and it's Haran. That's where that name comes from. Look what it says in verse 5. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, for a second. The first thing that I find that is amazing is a lot of times people will now say, well, you know, she had no choice. She had to get up. She had to leave. But the reality is that when you listen to Sarah, and she is found throughout all of our writings, that we're going to be studying about Abraham and Sarah and so forth, and you will see that she is approached, she is asked to do certain things, and she is literally one that she's going to be obedient to her husband. But as she walks in obedience, the first thing that I look at when it comes to Sarah was this faith of the woman that she was. She believed that Abraham said to her, I sacrificed and he told me to get out. Now in her mind it might be, which God? Which God are you talking about, Abraham? No, no, no. Not which God. God. The one true God spoke to me today. And the one true God mm-hmm. complaints. Laban was in a house. So imagine this for a moment, ladies. You're following your I didn't think so. It'd be the ultimate fishing trip. I'll just tell you that right now. Now, the reality is I can confidence that God was going to be with her husband and lead and direct them as they would see fit. Not only that, Sarah we're going to come back here to Genesis chapter 12 in a moment, and I want you to go to chapter 17. Now, we're going to get into different areas of faith when we come into Sarah. But imagine that Sarah is trying to figure out why they can't have a baby. Now think about that for a moment. They know the promise that was given in Genesis chapter 12 that God was going to bless Sarah and Abram with a child, and that child was going to be the heir of promise. So here in verse 19, notice what again that we find here. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. 17 verse 19. Notice what it says. And God said to Sarah, "Thy wife shall be chapter 17 verse 1, and you'll see that Abraham was 99 years old. And Sarah, his wife, was 90 years old. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. I remember I worked at Christian Care Ministry, and we had someone that called in one day, and they said, we have a lady on the phone. She's 63 years of age, and she's now pregnant with a child. What do we deal with that? How do we handle that? I said, we handle it like any pregnancy. But can you imagine years later when she would have the baby and they would walk into town, "Oh, does Grandma have your baby out today? Grandma, you have it?" "No, that's not Grandma. That's my baby." "Oh, you adopted?" "No." His name means laughter. And everyone that saw they were beyond the childbearing years, and she would have this child out of faith. Now, why do I say that? Because the Bible says when she was beyond the years of childbearing, meaning her womb has already dried up. The thing that I find amazing is that the young womb is a lot of times what we would expect for a baby to be born in, and we would expect for young couples to have them. But the reality is that when you have an older person, it seems so wrong that they're going to have a baby. And yet for 25 years, God had been promising Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a baby. How many of us would wait for 25 years on the promises of God? How many of us would think that that would be impossible, that God would, after 25 years, give a husband and wife a baby? I remember this, is that many years ago, I was pastoring, and Brother Alan Keith had called me. And Brother Alan was, we were on a Wednesday night service, and he announced to me, he called and he said, "Brother Prater, I'm not going to be able to help out with youth camp this year." And Alan had always helped with youth camp, and I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Brother Alan." And he goes, "Well, I've got a good reason." I said, "Well, whatever it takes." I said, "I believe your reason." He goes, "Well, you see, this past Sunday, my wife and I announced to the church that we're going to have a baby. They had tried for 23 years to have a child. And the doctor had already told Alan, it's going to be impossible for you to have a baby, and because your wife is diabetic, it's going to be impossible for her to have a baby, and they have a baby." And I said, "How did everybody react when they heard it at the church?" He said, "The entire church rejoiced. And after the baby was born, she was a feisty little character. Brother Alan said, I'd get up and I'd start preaching, and she would stand up and look at everybody else in the congregation, and they would start laughing at her. Brother Alan said, you didn't hear a word I said today, did you? Because you were being entertained by the baby." The reality is that holding on to a promise, holding on to the hope of having a child, even beyond the childbearing years. But get this as well. God had given her the ability to nurse the child. This is the thing that is amazing to me. It's one thing to be able to have the child, but the very elements of the body that would not be able to take care of the child, like the breast being able to produce milk so that the baby could feed, God empowered and God blessed Sarah in that even her breast could literally nurse the baby. How do I know that? Because it said when Isaac was weaned. Weaning means that he was taken off the mother's breast and then he would begin to walk with his father. But even more so, the thing that was amazing is that Sarah in herself made this declaration. Go to chapter 18 and go down to verse 9. "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will give thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall women." You can take and explain it to the children later. "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore is way. So the reality is that the magnificent beauty that we see out of this was that Sarah was being preserved and cared for the time that God was ready to use her. Now imagine this. So she left Haran around when Abraham was 75, making her 65 years of age. Imagine the beauty that she must have possessed when she went into Egypt that she would be traded for and Abraham would be blessed. Turn with me to the chapter 12 again. And I want you to see God's handiwork and God's plan. In chapter 12, let's go down to verse 10. "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come to enter into Egypt, and he said to Sarah," or Sarai, his wife, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." Now wait a minute. Here's the reason I want you to see this. Abraham was a man of faith, right? He believed the word of God. He believed what God had to say. But then when the famine occurred, he went into Egypt and he was afraid for his own life's sake. Where's faith at this moment? Just something to think about. Say, I pray thee, thou invoke me, for my soul shall live because of thee. Now get this. How many of you ladies would be willing to lie for your husbands because he was afraid? And I'm going to share something with you, ladies. Every man is afraid. He doesn't show you his fear. He doesn't show you his inabilities. He's afraid to do that because he doesn't want you to lose confidence in himself. I know this is that on myself, I will work on anybody's car, but I hate working on my car, afraid of, that I'm not going to be able to do it. And sometimes I have to push myself to get started, but I would never admit to anyone, especially my wife, that I didn't know how to do something. I've worked on many computers in my life, and sometimes people would say, can you fix this or can you fix that? And deep down in my heart, I know I can do it, but I'd be afraid to admit it, that I was afraid of myself, and I would go in and do it anyway. Abraham showed the human characteristic that there was a fear that was underlying. And the fear wasn't necessarily God. And so he asked Sarah to lie for him, and Sarah was very fair. Is that Sarah, in her beauty, was so treasured and so desired that Abraham was rewarded from her. But wait, there's more. Let's go to chapter 20 and let's go to verse 10. 20 and verse 10. Once again, I want you to see the same thing. Now, right before, it's amazing, right before Abraham and Sarah are going to have a baby, once again, here is this beautiful woman in her 90s, and she is going to be given over to Abimelech as a bride. Now think about that for a moment, ladies. How beautiful she must have really been. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet, she is the daughter of my father, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is the kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants and gave them to Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, why do I bring this up? Do you realize that Abimelech was the only chamber where Sarah could have become pregnant outside of Abraham? But God said, we're not going to let that happen. This is a promise. This is going to be the seed of Isaac. Sarah is going to do this, and it's going to be with Abraham and Sarah, not and he also shut down the abilities to procreate in that land. I bring this up because women a lot of times think that they are nothing but pieces of pottery or pieces of material, chattel, if you will, in the Bible. But God holds greater respect for women than you might realize. In fact, I want you to think about this for a moment. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to see this. And I know that it seems like I'm a bit all over the place, But as I go into these things, this is the way my mind, my thoughts were as well. In Hebrews chapter 11, notice again, in verse 9, it says this: By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him in the same manner. Now I want you to get this. Here was Abraham blessed that he was going to be able to be with not only Isaac, but his grandson Jacob. And you don't see any application whatsoever of Sarah in this place, until you come down a little bit further in the scriptures, and that's when we see in verse 11, through faith Sarah. Do you realize, ladies, the only woman that is mentioned directly in this line of faith is Sarah? Other women were mentioned because it says that they received their dead. It was mentioned of Rahab that she believed the promise, but only Sarah was one that she had a direct faith with God for her husband's sake. And because of that, Sarah endured a great amount. Let's go back to Genesis once again. Let's go to chapter 16. And I want you to understand, faith can waver, and when faith comes, when there's a wavering tool, we should never be afraid of what it has to say. Look at Genesis chapter 16, and let's go down to verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. It probably came into Sarah's mind at this moment that Abraham is infertile. Abraham's infertile. And I feel for women who have wanted children all their lives and not been able to have them. And so she goes to Abraham at this moment, and Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid, and it may be that I can obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. Man, let me tell you something. This is a moment where the woman says, Does this dress make me look fat? At that moment, Abraham should have said, Honey, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to go into that handmaid. There had to be, first of all, a desire in Abraham. And second of all, Sarah should have known better than to proposition her husband in this way. Whatever was the circumstance, Abraham should have said, No, I trust God. This is going to happen. And Sarah... and gave him to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. What was the attitude immediately upon the conception? Notice again it says, Her mistress was despised in her eyes. So now Sarah is not upset, she's upset at Abraham because of what he did. The vernacular today is my bad. My people saying, You should have never listened to me, Abraham. You should have never listened. Faith can sometimes falter even in our lives. And we know, but the reality is that Abraham was the very person that could not deal with it. But I want to conclude this message by pointing out one thing. Sarah was still blessed of God in many ways. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 23, and I want you to see this. In Genesis chapter 23, we're going to go down to verse 19, and again, I want you to see what it says in 19 and 20. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave in the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan, and the field and the cave that is therein, and made sure unto Abram for possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Now, why do I think that this is very important? You see, Abraham, earlier in the chapter, had made the statement, he goes, give me a place where I can bury the dead out of my sight. Now, do not think of this as the way we would think about it. Abraham was literally inflicted in his heart. We don't see a lot of cases where the women died ahead of the man in the Bible. There's a few instances. But the reality is, Abraham loved Sarah, probably more than any of the other women. Matter of fact, remember this, Abraham had three wives. He had Hagar, he had Sarah, he also had a woman by the name of Keturah. And the reality is that Abraham loved Sarah so much that he made a special burying place for her. And this was called the Cave of Machpelah. And when Abraham died, he too was gathered and buried next to her. All right, let's go in and see that. Let's go to chapter 25. I don't mean to rush the sermon or anything like that, but I want you to see this. And then go down to verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zophar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. Now I want you to think about this. Whenever you go into a cemetery, how many of you have ever noticed the double headstones? You have the husband, and right next to it is the place where the wife is buried as well. Sometimes you'll go there, and you may see the husband's name, and the wife's burying place is there. What's interesting is, Abraham had Hagar, but he wasn't buried near Hagar. He also had another lady, and Keturah, and it says that he gave gifts to them and sent them away. But when it came to honoring one lady, that had to be Sarah. There is more to the subject. Let's go to chapter 49, and we should see this as well. Genesis chapter 49, and let's go down to verse 29. And he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for possession of a burying place. Now I want you to stop there for a moment. Greg is been a blessing to my family in that he provided a burying place for my mom and my dad and Carla's mom and dad. And Greg said, that's where I'd like for you to be buried. I said, well, I'm not ready to die yet. But what an honor that I can be buried in that place. But I want you to look at this for a moment. Jacob said, I'm about ready to die. Bury me where Abraham and Sarah are buried. Not only that, there they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah. Were ready for this? And there I buried Leah. Who did Jacob love more? Rachel. But who did he show the greatest respect to? Leah. Isn't that something? Leah is buried in the place of the greatest respect, next to Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah. And it was going to be Jacob and Leah in the burying place. Did you ever see that before? Isn't that amazing? You see, the place of respect. Sarah was a woman that she faltered in her faith, that she lived for God, she followed after God in a powerful way, and God honored her. It says over in the book of Galatians that she was the woman that bore the seed of hope, while Hagar was the seed of the life in which they live. So today I want you to think about this. How beautiful it is when we consider the saints. And the Bible tells us how precious in the sight of God is the death of one of His. One of His. This morning we have preached on the message on respect life, respecting life and death. If today you want to know more about Jesus, maybe you want to know more about living for Him as a matter of faith, and I pray that God will bless. Father, again, I want to thank You for Your mercies, and I want to thank You for Your truth, and I pray, Father, that You will guide in the message as it was delivered today. Be with us in the closing of this service, and guide and bless now. In Christ we pray. Amen. Brother Randy, do you have a song?